Merry Christmas, everyone. Today, we'll tell you about the economics behind one of the most enduring Christmas stories, and can you turn present opening into a financial lesson for kids?
You need to think about the messages you're sending, that money is all about spending it now.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without the story of Scrooge, Bob Cratchit, and the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. Published in 1843, A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens was heavily influenced by the economic conditions of its time, as I've been finding out.
Once upon a time, on Christmas Eve, old Scrooge sat busy in his counting house. It was cold, bleak, biting, and he could hear the people outside beating their hands upon their breasts to warm them.
So we're standing in 48 Doughty Street, and this is where Charles Dickens moved in 1837.
I've come to Dickens House Museum in London, and I'm with Louisa Price. She's the curator. Louisa, Charles Dickens' own childhood was, well, rather Dickensian.
So at the age of 12, Dickens' father got into so much trouble with money that he was thrown into prison. His family went with him, apart from young Charles, who was, they felt, old enough to work and try and support the family.
Dickens was also influenced by the big economic issues of the Victorian age, an age of empire, mechanization, and exodus to the cities.
"Bah, humbug," said Scrooge. "I don't make myself merry at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people merry. If they would rather die, they had better do it and decrease the surplus population."
Scholars say that phrase, decrease the surplus population, was a direct response to the ideas of Reverend Thomas Malthus, who wrote that population growth simply couldn't be sustained. He argued, essentially, people had to be allowed to die. Dickens was also exercised by the plight of working children.
So in 1843, a report came out about child labour, which really enraged Dickens. In fact, he wrote in a letter to a friend that he was going to produce a story that would have sledgehammer force.
That story was A Christmas Carol, and it added to Dickens' wealth. Leon Litvak is a world authority on Dickens's life and letters at Queen's University Belfast.
He earned money from his novels. He earned money from investments. And he invested in railways. He spent liberally. He was at this time also keeping his lover, for whom he was renting a house. He earned enough in one night's public reading that would sustain a family for a year.
Dickens even wrote a financial advice column and wove his themes of wealth, poverty, and inequality into most of his work.
"Spirit," said Scrooge, "tell me, if Tiny Tim will live?" "I see a vacant seat," replied the ghost, "in the poor chimney corner, and a crutch without an owner carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die and decrease the surplus population."
The economic moral of A Christmas Carol is that we must look after those who are less fortunate than ourselves, particularly if we have power and influence.
Send me your favourite economic literature at BBC Anu Anand. Now, amid all that present unwrapping frenzy today, is there room for a financial lesson? Heather McGregor is head of the business school at Harriet Watt University in Edinburgh.
Christmas is a pretty important time for a financial lesson, not just for children, but for their parents. You know, it's the time at which we're more likely than any other time, other than possibly getting married, to go into debt willingly. You need to think about the messages you're sending, that money is all about spending it now. I think that the lesson we all need to give about money is that some of it's for spending, some of it's for saving, and some of it's for sharing.
What's your sort of formula for what you should save, what you should spend, and how much you should give away?
My suggested formula is 40, 40, and 20. But that's not a golden rule. The important thing is the principle that some of every money should be shared with other people less fortunate. And that could be by sponsoring somebody. That could be buying something for your own consumption, but buying it in a charity shop because the money is going to the right place. sometimes these things are difficult because quite often people give vouchers, for instance, at Christmas, in which case you've got to go and spend it. You can't give away part of a voucher to a charity. But what you can do is go and spend the voucher somewhere and buy more than one thing and maybe put one of those things on eBay and then use that money for charity.
Now, when it comes to charity, what's the best way to get kids to understand that, you know, the money they have in their hands really can help someone?
I think it's important that they see where their money is going. For a child to understand their money might be going to another child, for instance, you know, I think it's about asking them if they were going to give away some of their money, who would it be given away to?
And Heather, what do you think is the right age to start teaching kids about money?
Oh, you're never, never too early to teach about money. Money is a store of value as well as a medium of exchange. You know, I nowadays run a business school in a university and I'm teaching adults about money. And you have to remind people that it's not a goal, even at an older age. Money isn't a goal in itself. It's just a measure. And if you only measure the things that are in front of you, you know, you will only value those things. So what you need to do is start talking in your families on Christmas Day about your goals and aspirations for the year and how you're going to achieve them as a family. And one of those goals and aspirations should be to save up for something. Some of that money should be allocated, and those goals should be about which charities you want to help. But having it as a goal and aspiration rather than as a sum of money, I think, is very important.
Heather McGregor. Finally, remember those Christmas sweaters your great aunt made? Cute, ugly, cringeworthy? Well, they're majorly in demand now at vintage shops. The more bells and lights, the better. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.